Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Just before we start, I just want to say hi and greetings to our online viewers. I know there's folks who can't be here for are you chasing armadillos, dude? You back? Are you cleaning off after those armadillos? Because you should wash after armadillos. But to the online folks, we love you. Wish you were here. I'm sure you were singing loud and proud at home and joining with us. My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is sitting in the front row with me. And we have the pleasure and privilege of serving in this church. And we'd love to meet you afterwards if we get a chance. This morning, I want to carry on in our series on the book of Acts. I'm excited about it. Look, they even started the clock now and not 3 minutes ago when I was talking about other things. I love that. And that's for me, not for you. You don't have to worry about the clock. That's just for me. Track, stay in line. No rabbit trails, more than normal. For me. And this morning, I would like to speak into Acts 4 and into Acts 5. It's a beautiful passage, a challenging passage, and it's one of those things, when you read the Bible, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, there's just those things in the Bible, you read them and you're like, Some of them build us and encourage us. We're excited. You know, John was reading out of the Psalms this morning. It's just so beautiful. And then there's other passages we read in the Bible, and it's like, ow, that potentially could hurt. I don't know if I like that. I don't even know if I understand that, but yet it's in the Bible. In the Bible, we believe in the Word of God as the Word of God. And we don't want to just skip over those things that are hard or challenging or that seem, I don't even know where to put that. As a family, we want to walk through the Bible and try and come to grips and grasp with all of the Bible, even though sometimes, honestly, I've been a Christian for 45 years coming up this year, and there's things in the Bible I'm still like, Lord, help me understand what that means. Mm-hmm. And not just what it means, but how does that apply to me? Help me to understand and not just misapply or misunderstand or pass over. That's too hard. I don't like it. That's for my wife. She needs to change. And all of you who know us know that it's couldn't be further from the truth and boomerang back. But this morning, I'd like to talk, the title, it's in the Acts, as I said, but the title is The Splash We Make. The Splash We Make. Because all of us in life make a splash. We all make a splash. I was just watching this week on YouTube, just people diving off diving boards. And the goal in competition is to make no splash or as little splash as possible. And I was watching these other people. Anybody ever feel like they're having a belly flop in life? Their whole life is a belly flop. One, it doesn't feel good, but it makes a huge splash. And sometimes the splash we make doesn't feel good. Sometimes the splash we make is a beautiful thing. And one of the funny things about splashes is, as believers at times, we can actually feel like we're judges of other people's splash. People, 8.2, that's a bad splash. 9.6, that's a great splash, because there's not much splash. But what I find is, as I grow in my understanding of the Lord, hopefully I'm growing in my understanding of the Lord, growing in maturity, is to realize I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. And when I am, the Bible says, be very careful how you judge, Tom, because the measure you show others is a measure coming back to me. So be very careful, Tom, when you want to flip up the numbers on somebody else. Because I don't know what happened to them before they got to their diving board that caused their jump into the water. To be very careful how I judge. Be judicious in my judgment. I like that statement. The splash we make. A lot of times there's splashes in life, and there's headlines from splashes. Headlines. Everybody hears about it. I've been fortunate. I have a tendency to love sports. I've always loved sports. Moved to St. Louis in 1968, the years that the Cardinals lost to the Tigers in the World Series. Very painful, painful, painful. Lost game 7, 6-1. Mike Shannon hit a home run. It was the only run they got. I cried. My dad let me stay home from school. I was 9. I cried. My dad got mad at me because I cried. But I'll never forget. Lou Brock in 1974 headlines when he stole 105 bases. And he passed Maury Wills, who's the Dodgers, my team. And Lou Brock was all over the newspapers. Lou Brock, all-time stolen base leader, 105. I watched it on TV. He stole number 104 and number 105, same game. I remember the night that Bob Gibson threw his first no-hitter. I believe it was against the Pittsburgh Steelers on a Monday night. I was at a football game with my dad. Put it up on the scoreboard. Bob Gibson, no-hitter against the Giants. And I'm like, wow, big headlines in the newspaper the next day. Bob Gibson, first no-hitter, late in his career. Why do I remember that stuff? I don't know what John 3:19 says. Really irritating. Hank Aaron. Anybody remember Hank Aaron? On a Monday night in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Early in the season, it was 1974, he hit off of Al Downing. Al Downing wearing number 44. Hank Aaron wore number 44. Al Downing, left-handed pitcher, Atlanta Fulton County. Hank Aaron hits it into the left field. What do they call the warm-up pitchers? Yeah. Bullpen. That's it, bullpen. I know my baseball. I have a funny story. Stay on track. Hank Aaron hit number 715 to pass Babe Ruth. Oh my gosh, first time, it's amazing. And Hank didn't use steroids. So we're just moving on. moving on. You know you're a failure as a dad in my family. My daughter, this is the story, the rabbit trail, I wasn't gonna go down, I'm there. This year, our eldest daughter, more like her mother, it was after the Super Bowl, and my daughter was complaining to me, Kelly is her name. She was complaining to me, she said, Dad, I hate it when the Super Bowl went into extra innings. Oh, it cut deep. If it doesn't make sense, move on. Sometimes you realize the mark you've made on people and not. Extra innings in the Super Bowl. Lord Jesus, help my daughter. But Neil Armstrong, 1969, first man to step on the moon. I'm going to miss this, so hang with me. One small step for man, one leap for mankind. Giant leap for mankind, yeah. Headlines everywhere. A man on the moon. Headlines. Everybody was talking about it. Headlines. Made a big splash. Headlines. Memories. We're not going to sing Barbara Streisand's song. This morning, we're going to look at three people in the Bible who made a big splash. Headlines. Headlines, headlines, headlines. Big splash. Three people in the Bible. The thing is, they didn't know they were making headlines in the moment. Have you ever had that? Where you're doing something in life and other people have heard about it? And they come back, hey, I heard. Typically, it's not great things for me. But it's, Tom, did you really? Yeah, probably. But three people in the Bible who made headlines. We're still talking about it to this day. Headlines. Big splash. Acts chapter 4. We're going to pick it up in verse 32. And we're going to roll into Acts chapter 5. And this account, the book of Acts, was written by a doctor, a physician named Luke. And it's unfortunate that those who kind of put chapter headlines and or titles and broke up chapter 4 and chapter 5 right here, because it's actually one account of something that happened. The end of Acts 4 and the start of chapter 5. Same story. Just breaks it up by chapter, unfortunately. But it's the same story. Acts chapter 4, the end of chapter 4. And we're going to look at the first part of chapter 5. Reading from the NIV. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers, and we looked at this a couple of times, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, But they shared everything they had. Oh, my goodness gracious. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Wow. And from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. It's a blessing to have assets. If you don't have assets, you have nothing to give. And if you give it all away, now you're in the back of the same line, needing. But this man gave something. Verse 36, Joseph, first person who made headlines. We're going to look at this morning. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Amazing. Same story, chapter 5, verse 1. Just should be a comma, not just a new chapter. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, the other two people who made headlines in this story. Third, Barnabas, Ananias, Sapphira, headline people. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter, one of the apostles, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit? That you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Verse 5. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Wow. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. I'll bet. Headlines. You want to go to church? Verse 6. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. Tidy. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Verse 9, and Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Oh, I'll bet. Father, I thank you for the beauty of the Word of God. I thank you that it was penned by your own intention, your own desire, Lord, that we would understand you, we would understand the kingdom of heaven, we would understand life, we would understand its frailties, hard things, challenging things, things we don't understand, things we don't comprehend. Father, I thank you for the Bible. Holy Spirit, we need you. We want you. Help us to understand rightly what is penned in the Word of God that you've given us so that we would learn, so that we would grow, so that we would find encouragement, so that we could change. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help. I ask you to help this morning. Help me to communicate your heart to your beautiful bride. Help me. Help us. And everyone said, amen. Three people, headlines. Barnabas sold a little property, brought all of it, and said, can you give it to the people who are struggling financially? He had stuff. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. In fact, I pray you have stuff. Because if you don't have stuff, you can't help anybody who's in need. So I pray you have stuff. I just pray stuff doesn't have me. Barnabas, awesome guy. He was so amazing. You know what? He was not noted for his generosity, even though this passage talks about his generosity. He was noted for being a person who was an encourager. They changed his name and called him Barney. Son of encouragement. That's how pronounced, that's how prolific, that's how potent was his gift. He was so doggone encouraging. We're not going to know you as Joseph anymore from Cyprus. We're going to call you Barnabas. Because that so much better describes who you are. Barnabas. Is it okay if we call you Barnabas from now on? I'm sure he said, if it helps you, if it blesses you, sure. Gave all that he had. He didn't have to do that. See, this is not communism. It's not socialism. He had stuff and he wanted to give it free of his own volition, his own intent. He could have sold it and just tithed off of it. That's what the Jewish culture was. There's nothing right, wrong, different. You have income into your house, you tithe off of it. That's what they did. But Barnabas wasn't like that at this moment. Maybe he tithed off of everything all the time. I don't know. Bible doesn't say it. But this time, he chose not to just tithe off of his income. He chose to give 100%, which I could be wrong, but that seems like an extra zero. All of it. And as we do, as we find out, we hear stories about amazing people. We hear stories about armadillo hunters. And it could cause us to want to hunt our own armadillo. And the people in the church began hearing about people just buying and selling and giving and blessing people and sharing. And the church is growing because it's an amazing family. Wouldn't you want to be part of a family like that? There's not a needy person in their group. Even the Brits got stuff. It's amazing. Ben, I guess you're up next. Yeah, your turn. He's British, by the way, if you didn't know. So people in the church heard what was going on. They're like, wow. And if you know people, and most of us know people, word gets around. But this is a good word. People are being generous. People are being helped. People are being blessed. And this guy, Joseph, he's so amazing. They said, hey, they changed his name to something really cool. And then other people hear about it. And you know what happens when I hear good things? I want to do what they did. And so this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, they're hearing just like everybody else is hearing. People are getting blessed. People are selling property. How cool. Wow. Barnabas, I bet he becomes an apostle. He did. And Ananias and Sapphira are like, wow. 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 Look what happens to those generous people. Wow. Ananias and Sapphira not understanding the things of God. Probably. They're putting two and two together and coming up with purple. Give stuff, get affirmation. Give stuff, get noticed, give stuff, get acknowledged in front of people, give stuff.
Good stuff happens.
That's Ananias and Sapphira, potentially. We don't know. Don't know. It's all subjective. I don't know what their conversation was at home. But the Bible says at home they had a conversation. And they decided, we're going to sell our property right across the street over here on Mexico Road. It's worth $100,000. Sapphira, what if we do this, sweet pie? I'm assuming it's the guy. Just assuming. What if we sell that property across the street that's worth $100,000 and give it to the church? But what if we don't give all of it? You've always wanted to go to Cancun, sweet pie. Let's take a cruise. Let's go to Cancun. We don't have to give all of it. Let's just keep some of it back for us. It's our property. We're giving a heck of a lot more than just a tithe. How about you say we just give, oh, I don't know, say half. Nobody's going to know the difference. Anybody asks us, we'll tell them, yeah, that's what we got. So, round it off, we don't know all the details, but we know how they got there. We're going to say we sold it for this, but actually we're not going to give what we told them. And Peter, in this, Peter gets it, which is a miracle again for Peter, if you read the Gospels. Peter gets it, and he's like, dude, do that. Why would you do that? The money was yours. Give 10%. Give 20%. Give 50%. Give all, it's your money. Give whatever you want. It's yours. But why did you lie about how much you gave? That was the issue. Ananias and Sapphira were probably more generous than what I would have done. Because I probably did want to go to Cancun and a cruise. But that's not the point. The point is they did something and told a lie about it. They acted like they're doing the same thing that Barnabas was doing. Here is all of it. Are we going to get a title? Are you going to change our names? Are we going to get the same affirmation? Why do we do the things we do? I don't know. Broken people do broken things. I don't sit in judgment of Ananias and Sapphira. I'm just reading the story. All I know is they were super generous. They gave enough that everybody, for some people, it was a believable story. They gave enough, it was believable. But not to the Holy Spirit, who told Peter, that ain't true. They brought their money, having husband and wife conspired together. Let's tell them this. We'll keep some. And Peter calls them out. Why they did it, I don't know. But Peter said, why has Satan so filled your heart that you would do such a thing? Why would you do that? For me, it seems a little more simple. Broken people do broken things. Broken people do broken things. The conclusion of these three headlines, Ananias, Sapphira, and Barnabas, the conclusion was this in verse 11. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. I just want to bring some clarity to this verse, this word. It wasn't fear like they're afraid of God. And awe and respect fell upon the people of God. You can't lie to the Holy Spirit and walk out of here alive. God sees our heart. God sees my heart. Great reverence, holy fear, awe fell on everyone. And it also, I guarantee you, these are headlines for the Jewish people who hadn't converted to Christianity. Do you imagine what the Jewish people are saying? Told you. You go over there, they can carry you out dead. We'll take your 50% happily. The whole community heard about these headlines. And I read stories like Acts 4 and 5. And I think what a beautiful, powerful, potent, scary message for the leaders of Christianity today. That the women and men who are leading are people of integrity. Not perfect, because we don't have any of those. But people of integrity. What a beautiful, potent, powerful lesson that we learn. God knows what's going on in the inside of me. You don't know what's going on in the inside of me, but He does. And to live in light of that. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. That's one of the big lessons in this passage. Why? Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the church is His bride. The church was birthed by Jesus. It was Jesus' idea. The Bible, we talked about it last week. The church is the Lord's, and He cares about the bride. So many people today, and I get it, I understand all the hurt, most of the problems, many of the problems with people as leaders, hurting people, controlling, dominating. The problem most of the time is leaders in church. Most of the time, not all the time. What a great lesson for leaders to understand, this church is not mine. The people are not mine. The building is not mine. The money certainly is not mine. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. At best, we're stewards as leaders. Stewards. Just like the money you have in your wallet or your bank account. You're a steward of it. It's the Lord's. All of it is His. That I would treat it as such. And people say, I'm done with the church. Well, that's a problem, being done with the church, because it's Jesus' institution. Yes. And He has uniquely decided that the unique agent to express the kingdom of heaven on earth is the church. Yes. But it's such a mess. Yep, sure is. Got 6,000 plus denominations. Oh, it's messy. But I don't throw rocks at the church, because it's His bride. Filled with problems. Filled with challenges that He's going to iron out. See, the church is His bride, it's His body, and He cares about it deeply, its value, deeply. The church is so important, and yet the church is temporary, it's not eternal. In the age to come, no more church. We'll be with Him. The kingdom of heaven is eternal, the church is not. And I'm just going to say something, we can talk about it later. We just talk about it later. I'm just going to throw out my personal opinion. I actually believe we're going to see Ananias. Well, maybe restate that. Restate it. Okay. I think I am going to see Ananias and Sapphira in heaven. I think they're believers. They were part of the church. They lied. Has anyone here ever lied? Well, they told a big lie. Oh? Well, their lie was really bad. Oh, yeah, it was really bad. I wonder about me. Have I ever done something really bad? What if this week, popcorn and soda for everyone, what if this week we put all my Tom's ugly deeds up on the thing? Interesting viewing. I don't want that. Please, let's not do that. But I wonder about the Bible. Some of the other people. Do you think you're going to see King David in heaven? Do you think you're going to see David in heaven? He murdered. He committed adultery. He's going to be in heaven. Ananias and Sapphira told a lie. I don't think they're going to be in heaven. Oh, they told a lie. Anybody ever heard of Abraham? Father Abraham, who happened to be a married man. And he went into a foreign land. And Abraham, to his blessing, had a smoking hot wife. That's what the Bible says. Beautiful mama. And the king looked at beautiful mama and said, I'll take her. And Abraham's like, The king said to Abraham, who is that? And Abraham said of his wife, that beautiful lady is my sister. It's my sister. She's my sister. And Abraham allowed the king to carry his wife off, away. You tell me who told the bigger lie. Abraham about his wife or Ananias and Sapphira? Well, that was a big lie. He told that in church. Abraham made it in the Bible. His son. You don't think our kids learn from our mistakes? His son did the same thing. He got into trouble. Rebecca smoking hot. He went into a land. King said, well, who's that? Isaac said, what did daddy do? She's my sister. Liars don't go to heaven. I haven't been there yet. I don't want to rush things. Thank you very much. I think Abraham is in heaven. I think King David's in heaven. I think Isaac is in heaven. The 12 tribes of Israel, Reuben, Levi, all that gang, they didn't like their little brother. So Joseph has his pretty little coat. Lots of colors, rainbow, but not that kind of rainbow. Multicolored. Gentle. Multicolored rainbow, colored.
Coat of many colors.
Coat of many colors. Thank you. It's stuck. It's like, whoo. I got stuck, but now I'm not. Multicolored robe. The brothers, we hate him. So they sold him, Joseph, into slavery. They're like, what are we going to tell daddy? I don't know. Let's make up a whopper. They took that pretty little robe, tore it, threw animal blood on it, took it back to daddy, who loved that boy, and said, I don't know. I guess an animal ate him. Look at his robe. That sounds like a whopper. I think there's been a whole lot of lying going on.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to see a lot of those people, if not most of all the ones I mentioned, in heaven. Oh, Tom, you're going soft. Oh, no, the Bible talks about Ananias and Sapphira. Well, why Ananias and Sapphira and not those guys? I don't know. That's one answer. I have a thought, just a thought. I just want to throw out a thought. Everybody say thought. A thought. When Jesus started the church, he died, rose again, church is birthed, Holy Spirit comes, amazing. People are buying and selling property. The church is powerful. Thousands are getting saved. They put people out so that Peter's shadow fell on them and people got healed. It is potent, baby. This church is happening. And a couple in the church decide to make up a whopper. They didn't kill anybody. But Jesus said, this church is just starting. Holy Spirit said, this church is just starting. So here's just my really poor illustration. Really poor illustration. But it works for me, so maybe for you, I don't know. If you can imagine a 12, 14, 16-inch sapling that's in the ground, a tree, just buried, just started. And there's some disease that appears on that sapling. You want to get it right now while it's a sapling. Because you don't want that disease to grow with the whole tree. Because centuries are coming. And the Holy Spirit knows centuries are coming. And we ain't going to start this thing with that kind of disease in it. It's happened so many other times in the past. Abraham's, Isaac's, David's. It's happened. This tree is just starting. We're going to snip a couple of the branches so the sapling grows straight and true. I don't see that Ananias and Sapphira in of itself. I get the lying to Holy Spirit and all that. I get that. It seems harsh until you understand how Jesus wants this bride to look, ultimately. You let this little sapling trimmed a couple of branches off of it. Now this tree has been going on for a couple thousand years. And if there's a couple of dead branches at the top, it's okay. The tree's going to make it. It's just a couple of branches a few hundred feet high. It's okay now. It's not okay. It's not okay. Why isn't it happening in the church today? I don't know. It's got to happen. We'll start with you. Hold up the numbers, please. You can judge. Feel free. Jump in. All I know is this. Jesus cares about his church very much. And what I do, what you do, makes a difference. My kids are watching me. Clearly, my daughter doesn't know anything about football. I didn't train her very well in sports. If there's extra innings in the Super Bowl. It makes a difference how I live. Because when I dive off, I'm going to make a splash. Or I can make a belly flop in life. These people, I think my personal opinion, I think I'm going to see Ananias and Sapphira in heaven. I believe they did really bad. Made up a lie. And God said, this little tree needs to grow straight and true. We're not going to have it. Can I read a couple of passages of scripture before we close? I find this helps me. I had a young man 2 weeks ago sent me a question. He doesn't go to church here. He's young in the Lord. And he just asked me a question. He said, Tom, my sins, if I sin, am I going to hell? I'm a Christian now. I'm supposed to stop sinning. I'm supposed to stop sinning. Yes, you should. Yes, I should. He said, so what do I do with that? How does that work in God's view? The fact that now I'm a Christian and I'm sinning. I still have issues. 1 Corinthians 3, this is the passage I pointed this young man to. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 16. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a very messy and powerful church. The Corinthian church is powerhouse church. Powerhouse church. Amazing things happening in this church in Corinth. But it was a messy church. And Paul, as a dad, the person who started this church, is trying to write to the church to help them. How do you deal with your sin? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 16. By the grace God has given me, I, Paul, laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, capital D, everybody look up there if you're falling asleep. The day, capital D, not the day, not Sunday, the day. What is that day talking about? When we all stand before the throne. The day, big day, huge day, scary day. Depending on the splash I'm making. Depending on the splash I'm making. Because the day, capital D, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Everyone say reward. Reward. A reward. That is gold, silver, costly stone. The day when I stand before God and it's all revealed, my motives, my stinking attitudes, my holding back half, purporting it's full. My splash, the day when I stand before him, every thought, every heart intention will be revealed for what it really was. If I've been building my life, Tom Kyle, I can't build yours. I can only build mine. Can't build Randy's. She's responsible for her own. The day will reveal it for what it is. If it's gold, silver, or costly stone, there's a reward. And that's how I answered this young man. What do I do about my sin? What does God do with it? It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss. but yet will be saved. Even though only as one escaping through flames. Wouldn't you be okay just escaping through flames and making it into eternity in heaven with Jesus? I've screwed up my whole life. I've messed up so bad. But I'm glad my eternity isn't based on my behaviors. I'm in heaven. But there is a day. Make no mistake, capital D, there's a day when I'll stand before him. And it'll all be revealed. Tom, it was all for mixed motive. You did it to try and be puffy proud. You don't get any reward. In fact, you suffer loss. But you will go to heaven still. Because me going to heaven is not based on my conduct. It's based on Jesus' conduct. Yes. Amen. But there will be a day. Some of us will receive amazing, eternal reward. Bible. We'll receive reward for how we've lived. The splash we've made. Other people, the day will reveal it for motives. And I'll suffer loss. I'm still going to heaven, as though through flames. But I'll suffer loss. And that's what I told this young man. It makes a difference how you live. Because there's a day coming. We'll stand before him. I'll either be rewarded for how I live down here, or I'll suffer loss. But sir, to this young man who's 25, 26 years old, if you're born again, you get to go to heaven. But it makes a difference how we live. There's Ananias and Sapphira. It makes a difference how I live. Don't you know? Why should I worry about sin in my life? Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you, Tom, to repentance? It's his kindness. And there are stories like Ananias and Sapphira to wake me up. Can I just tell one more story and read one more verse? My wife and I, it was 2005. And a famous preacher came. We were pastoring a church. We were pastoring and leading a church in Chicago. And we were leading it. And it came to light that one of our dear friends was harming our daughter in a horrific way. Dear friend of mine, ours. Dear friends in the church. Harming our daughter. And it came to light. And we were crushed. We were wiped out. We weren't doing well. And a very, very, very famous preacher named Charles Simpson, some of you may have heard the name. He's just gone on to be with Jesus. Charles Simpson came to town. And he spoke in our church. And he knew that my wife and I were struggling. Mightily. Horrifically struggling. I wanted to quit. I wanted to not behave like Jesus would want me to behave because I was angry at people. And so Charles Simpson, this godly older man, had dinner with my wife and I. And so we elaborated more on the story. And at the end of it, he asked kindly, it was a kind question. He said, what do you want? Tom and Randy, what do you want? And the words out of our mouth was this. We just want justice. We just want justice. And this old preacher that we'd known for decades, Charles Simpson. Awesome, awesome man of God. We're sitting at a kitchen table and he literally stopped and sat back in his chair as the words "we want justice" came out of our mouth. He just stopped and sat back and he looked at us. Tears coming out of my wife's eye, probably fire coming out of mine. And he leaned in and he spoke very tenderly to us. And he said, lovely people, the last thing you want is justice. Because if you ask for justice, you're going to get justice. What you want in this situation is mercy. not sweep it under the carpet, not act like it didn't happen. You want mercy. If you extend mercy, it's coming back to you. Changed our life in that moment. Took the oxygen out of the fire that was raging in my heart. It was my little girl. Didn't excuse what he did. Wasn't okay after that. It wasn't okay after that. My little girl is still damaged. 2006, 18 years later, my little girl is still damaged from that event. Because the man who harmed her was a born-again Christian. My little girl still isn't right. In Jesus' name, she will be. But I needed to process rightly the kindness of God and how I want to live my life and how I deal with my pain, because it was not right. So I want to finish this with a great but how. What does this have to do with me? Barnabas, Ananias, Sapphira, great but how. What do we do with this passage? Here's my great but how. While I have breath in my body, Lord, help me deal with my stuff. Help me deal with my stuff, not your stuff. You get to deal with your stuff. I got enough of my own. Lord, while I have breath in my body, help me deal with my stuff. And the problem is this, as being a Christian for 45 years almost, a lot of the stuff in my life is hidden. I don't even know it's there. The really, truly dangerous snake is the one I can't see. I'm not aware of. So my prayer for me is, and believe me, I have enough stuff that I do see that I'm processing. Still, after 45 years, I am far from perfect. There are people in this room who know I am far from perfect. But Lord, help me to see those things that are blind spots in me. Help me to deal with me before I start throwing stones at everyone else. We're not winking at anyone's sin. But Lord, let it start with me. While I have breath in my body, help me deal with my stuff. Jesus is kind and he's merciful. Can I have the prayer team come up, please, real quick? While I have breath in my body, let me just clean house. It's important. Two verses and I'll pray. John 3, verse 16 to 18. John 3, 16 to 18. This is what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever, this is important, listen, whoever believes in him is not condemned. With all of my problems, all of my challenges, you know what I'm not? I'm not condemned. I'm forgiven. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And the last verse we'll look at this morning is Romans 8, 1 to 2. Romans 8, 1 to 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We stand, if we're believers in Jesus, not condemned. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's Bible. So here's what we get to do. Jesus, help me deal with the sin in my life. Help me deal with the obvious junk, my attitude, my attitudes. Holy Spirit, because you love me, help me deal with those things that I don't see, that are hidden even to my own eyes. Whether it's the pride of life, covetousness, envy, arrogance. Help me deal with those things on the inside. Not that I'm a navel gazer the rest of my days, But Lord, when I stand before you, I'm really interested in gold, silver, and precious stones as a reward. That's what I want. Let me burn up the wood, hay, and stubble on earth right now, right here, while I can. Let me set fire to it in my own heart. Because I'm going to make a splash. Whether I like it or not, we all make splashes. And you know what? There's a good side to the splash that you can make and I can make. There's a beautiful splash. It's living rightly, living generously, living blessing. This week I went to a laundromat. One more story. I'm so sorry. I lied. I went to a laundromat this week. My wife made me. Just full disclosure. She made me. True. Made me. She wanted me to go to the laundromat and wash the comforter. The women are, yeah. Scurry. In England, France, they call it a duvet. It's that heavy, heavy thing on top. You know, the thing that she can't fit in our washing machine. I don't know why that's her job, but she made it mine. So I went to the laundromat in O'Fallon off Main Street. Don't go. And I have to do this a couple of years. It's a pilgrimage. I do it because I love her. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to lose reward. But I went to the laundromat, put it in there 30 minutes. Now you got to dry it. I'm putting quarters in the one down here for the one up here. It's okay. I'm learning. I'm a learner. And as I'm waiting for the laundry to finish, there's a lady pops open the back of her car, and two little girls, 11 and 8-year-old, walk out, come inside the laundromat, sit down, open their little books, sweet, cute little girls, 11 and 8-ish. And the mom, they clearly are English is their second language. Clearly. They're all talking, and I didn't have the gift of interpretation. Assuming they're talking about, why does he have a bad attitude? Why is he fussing about his quarters? I'm sure that's what they were saying. So I'm getting ready to leave, and these little girls are sitting there, and I saw this lady, she's probably 35 to 40. Her arms are on the little folding table. Her elbows are on the folding table, and she's like this. And I just walked right past her, and I thought, not a good day. Probably bigger challenges than some misspent quarters and the wrong machine. So I was walking to my car. So I turned around, went back into the laundromat. And these two little girls are sitting there, and I thought, I'm a dad. Anybody a dad here? Nope.
No.
Nope. I'm a dad. So I walk over to this lady. And I pulled the money out of my wallet. And I just said, can you buy your two daughters ice cream today? Here's money. It was more money than she would need for ice cream. Tears in her eyes. She just turned around. She said, God bless you, sir. Clearly, she knew I was a pastor. And I so want, where's Herman Chajon? Where's JC? Give me some Spanish words here. And he said, God bless you. I didn't preach to her, you know, I'll see you in the laundromat again. In Jesus' name. But I thought, today I get to make a splash. I can make beautiful splashes. I can be kind. I can be generous. I can be. She knows I'm not always. Do we have a video? It's really short, it'll be fine. I'm talking about making a splash. Okay, you can shut that off. We have an opportunity to make a splash in life. Some of the splashes cause laughter. Some of the splashes cause happiness that we can make. Ananias made a splash, and Sapphira made a splash that wasn't pretty. But we can make splashes that are beautiful, that make people laugh and smile. How do we want to live our lives? Make great splashes, because we're all going to make a splash. How do I want to live? How do you want to live? Life Church is called to make a splash into the community. We take the blessing that we have and we give it away. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty of your kindness that leads me to repentance. Lord, help me deal with my stuff. Help me, Jesus. Lord, help us to deal with me and not hold up numbers judging other people's splash. Help me, Lord. Bless us. Holy Spirit, do what you do in your kindness. In the age to come, we will receive reward, gold, silver, precious stone. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Sorry it's so long this morning. It's Acts 5. I don't ever want to touch this verse again. Red numbers up there, red numbers. If you'd like someone to pray with you, could you please come forward? We'd love to pray with you. Be blessed, be encouraged. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.